Thank you for downloading this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
We want you to maximize life right now, okay? So, Brother Dave, the first question is specifically for you. You got a microphone for you to share with your spouse. Where did you buy your taser flashlight that you showed us on Sunday night?
I bought it at Hall's Hardware in Milton, Florida. And for $50, I'll buy you one and mill it to you. I'm just kidding. They only cost 20 bucks there, so.
Was there a specific name on that flashlight?
I have no idea.
Okay, all right. I would imagine if you Amazon taser flashlight below Brother Dave's picture, you will find it there, okay, in a funny video. Miss Beth Lee, could you start by answering this question? In teaching my kids, is there a difference between practical and biblical? Is there a difference between practical training or biblical training?
Well, I would say, first of all, the Word of God is always practical. There are parts of the Word of God that we don't understand, but the parts that we do understand can be practically applied to our life. And in Deuteronomy, it says that we talk about it as we're walking through life, so that we practically apply the Word of God. One of the things that David often does is if we are in a place where you can see the stars really well, which y'all can't because you got too much bright lights going on. But if you go outside of town and you look up in the sky, you will see an amazing array. And my husband often says to our children, the heavens declare the glory of God. And then they go, the firmament showeth his handiwork. So you can teach practically that way. But then there are other things that aren't biblical that they need to know how to do, like brush their teeth and help you clean the house and help you do laundry. And you're not actually going to teach them chapter and verse for that, but we always say to our children when they would maybe balk at doing chores around the house, we say, in all labor there is profit. In all labor there is profit.
So there's always a strong biblical foundation, but when you're learning how to change the oil necessarily, it's not like, look here in Matthew chapter 25.
Right.
Okay, good. Great answer. Anybody else want to contribute to that? Okay, sounds good. Question number three, and this could be for any one of you up here. What are some resources on dealing with anger? Somebody has an anger issue. What are some resources, or maybe just a practical step, if somebody is dealing with this issue of anger in their life?
I'll start. Go to any Christian bookstore or online and Google. There's any number of books available. But there's a ton of verses you can memorize if anger is an issue. Like the Bible says that a soft answer turneth away wrath. And that's a practical application, because at times in your marriage you get a little miffed at each other, and by human nature, don't look at me that way, and by human nature, when we get miffed at one another, we get intense, and our voices go up. And the Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. That's a very practical way to handle anger when you feel that intensity coming on. The Bible commands us there and teaches us that we lower our voice. You lower your voice. You ever been in a store where a mom is angry at her child? What does she do? She lets it all out. How many times have I told you? And what the Bible says, the way to handle anger is you lower your voice. So the Bible has principles there that you can learn. The Bible also tells us that anger compounds, because in our text in Ephesians 4 the other night, we didn't spend very long in it, but he said that we're not to be angry. He says we're to be angry and not sin. What he's telling us there is we're to deal with this emotion without sin. I'm not to lose my temper and say things I shouldn't say. And he says I'm not to let the sun go down upon my wrath. So really, the Bible has a ton of answers about your anger. And he says take care of anger immediately. Don't let the day end. Because what you and I tend to do is we're angry, so we go to bed angry, we get up tomorrow angry, and it raises our blood pressure, it raises our stress level, it causes issues in our bodies physically. And the Bible says, don't do that. Don't let that go. Take care of it immediately. And so sometimes Beth and I have said to each other in our marriage, when we had a disagreement about something, we said, you know what? We've not been able to solve it. But do you love me? I love you. We love each other. Let's go to bed. We're not mad. We still got to solve this problem. We'll talk about it later. We've not been able to solve it, and we're both tired. And I love you, and you love me, and so we'll talk about it later. Great. And you just lower your voice. So the Bible's got several. Go to Proverbs. I went through Proverbs several months ago and underlined every verse in Proverbs that dealt with anger and had information about anger, and I was stunned how much there was. Mm. You guys know of a resource?
You going to say the Bible?
Let's go say the Bible, too. Great minds think alike.
Yeah, I will say that I think, you know, in our culture, I appreciated what you said the other night, Pastor Young, is that our brother Young, is that, you know, we tend to excuse away our anger. And I know in our church, I have men that they'll kind of have this mindset of, well, that's just the way God made me. You know, God made me to get angry. And what we have to do is break it down and understand, well, what's the root of anger? If you think about it, men, we talked about it a little bit tonight. The root of anger is pride. Mm. The root of anger is pride. It's, I didn't get what I want. You're not doing what I demand. It's me. It's pride-centered. And I think that the scripture has so much to say about our anger, handling it the way the Lord wants me to, but getting to the root of problems and understanding that that's a pride issue that's dealt with within my heart. And again, I just echo the answer of God's word, always giving us answers for aspects of our life.
Yeah, it's really good. Especially that idea of slowing things down, talk slowly, more deliberately, softer. Honey. Yeah, good. That's really good. Next question.
Work on your bass voice.
My bass voice?
Honey.
Oh, honey. Yeah.
Yeah, good. Yeah, it wasn't very masculine when I said honey. Yeah, that wasn't.
Say baby.
That really helps. Yeah.
Man. Yeah, I got it. And then. All right.
Pastor Ray, would you please come on up here for just a second? Because this question has to do with your session. Question number four that was submitted. He's not going to need one. Question number four. Pastor Ray, the question is, Pastor Ray beat up Pastor Matt in the self-defense class a whole lot. Should we be concerned?
Yes.
In 3 weeks, you'll be meeting our new Spanish pastor.
Hey, I'm looking for Spanish ministry up in Moses Lake, so.
Oh, that's funny. That's really good. Okay, great. Next question. Maybe, ladies, maybe you can insert into this one. How do I set good boundaries for my kids in the areas of friendship? Go ahead, Hannah. You start off.
Okay. So that's going to look a little bit different in every family, I think. And, you know, always just using wisdom, I just think kind of to how my mom and dad raised me with setting boundaries. We took it very case by case and just talked through what was going to be the results of if I were to spend time with this group and if I were to, you know, go to my mom and dad. And our kids are younger, so I'd like to hear actually from the youngs on this maybe more, because our kids are younger, so we have a little more handle on that. But as they get older and are able to be more independent, I think that definitely considering it case by case and saying, you know, if you were to go to this event or spend lots of time with this person, let's look at them and their character, and if it were to rub off on you, what would that look like? And I think it's very, very important to train our kids to use wisdom from a young age and to kind of almost treat them like you have the best expectations of them, that they're going to use wisdom, and equip them to use it, but also give them opportunities to use wisdom by asking them questions and saying, what do you think this is going to look like? If I were to let you hang out with this person, what's some of their strengths? What's some of their weaknesses? And if you were to spend a lot of time with this friend, what might rub off on you? What do you think? And just kind of give them opportunities to grow that wisdom.
I think that's very good, taking it case by case.
Sometimes we as Christian parents go to extremes. If this child is in the church, they are obviously from a godly family. My child can spend endless amount of time with them. That's not necessarily true. It is not, and we teach our children, you be friendly to everyone. And I will tell you that our children do get in trouble if we see them being rude. So when you're in church, you sit with everyone. You don't have special friends that this is my little group and you get out of my group. We don't do that. So if you're in church and you're in junior church, you can sit with anybody unless that person's going to get you in trouble, and they know that. But then outside of church, we can, in our family, set boundaries. You know what? This family, they're a wonderful family, and maybe we'll have them over to our house, and we'll have dinner with them, and you can play with them, but you can't go to their house. We also do not let our children spend the night with anyone who is not family or just like family. And that has saved us so much, because we can just say, you know what? Our kids don't spend the night. They just don't. There's too many things that happen overnight. I know that from my own experience. So we don't do that. The other extreme, though, is if that child doesn't go to church, my kid can't spend time with them. Well, how are your children ever going to learn to reach the lost? They have to get... We have all kinds of little heathen children in our neighborhood. But we set boundaries. We set boundaries of our house is the place to hang out. Come to Miss Bethley's. The kids in our neighborhood know that if they go to Miss Bethley's, they're going to get an ice cream sandwich or a popsicle or a cookie. So they like to hang out at my house. And then we are very careful about where our children go in the neighborhood. And they are allowed to go to our immediate neighbors. They're very good people and they're very conservative people. But even then, we're like, no media, no movies. Know this, know that, and we check up on them.
Really good. Go ahead.
The Bible does give us a couple of verses that we try to follow. Like the Bible says that you should make no friendship with an angry man. So we always try to teach our children to not only follow our boundaries, but to start developing boundaries on their own. Says, you know what? This guy, the Bible says, fools make a mock at sin. So here's a guy, and he's always joking about garbage. You don't want to be that kind of, you don't want to be friends. I might not know he jokes about garbage. But we got to teach our kids to know that. And then our kids start making decisions on their own. And even with our kids, you got to do the boundaries about the opposite gender. And so we've always followed the rule. We tell our kids we don't do the dating thing. There's no reason for a 13-year-old to have a girlfriend or boyfriend. They're not ready to take care of a husband or wife. They can't even make their bed yet. Let alone have a husband or wife. So we told our kids, there'll come a day you'll be old enough to find a spouse, and then we will start that process of dating. We say it like this: we don't date, we wait. And we wait till you're old enough to be a husband or wife, to have a boyfriend or girlfriend. And we even have a little outline, I've preached it for years: don't date, wait. Don't date alone, take a chaperone. And then we have: don't act wed till the I do's are said. I shared that with a little girl. My son Matthew led her to Christ last summer, and she was complaining one morning. We're going to church with her. She's 14. She's driving to church with us, and she was complaining. Her daddy won't let her have a boyfriend. And I told her, you need to hear my great dating sermon. I've preached to teens all over the world, and I shared that with her. You know what she said? She said, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. But obviously, she had never heard of boundaries, and your children need them. And there's no reason to be worried. Like, we don't keep our kids from being friends. When there's unsaved kids in our church, we want them to be friends with. We want our kids to learn how to witness to them. And the reason that girl was going to church with us at the age of 14 is because this young man up here and his older brother befriended her and started witnessing to her. And she came to church with us, and we eventually led her to Christ. And now she's growing in the Lord and on her way to heaven. And so, but you've got to protect your children. You are living in a godless society. So,
yeah, I'll say something real quick. First, do you have a rapper name? Do you have like a rapper name, like a title or something? Okay, Cool D. I love it. Ladies and gentlemen in the house. Just kidding. I think with friendship, are you about to beatbox? All right. I think with kids and friendships, something I would encourage parents with, and I'm still learning this, and Hannah and I both definitely have a lot to grow in with it. But just don't be ignorant. Like, just don't play the ignorant card of, you know, just not knowing where your kids are and not dealing with it. I think when I was a youth pastor in an area, South Tacoma, Lakewood, it's a very very rough area. And it always amazed me, and still to this day amazes me. We'd have kindergartners that come to our church on the bus, and mom and dad had absolutely no idea they went to our church. We'd have teenagers that would be at our services. We had kids that go to camp with us. And we had parents sign permission slips, but they had no idea where the kid was going. They didn't even care. And I think sometimes we as Christians that we do that a little bit ignorantly. We just assume, well, you know, they're going to Johnny's house. Well, I'm sure they'll be there. Man, follow up on it and have the character to teach them character and not just assuming where they're at, what's going on, and play that ignorant card.
So kind of as a follow-up, outside of boundaries, not just not what to do, but setting goals. These are what you should do. How do you set goals for your children as a parent? Not just don't do these things, but these are ideals. You'd make us go
Well,
ahead.
It takes about 18 years of just continual conversing. Sometimes we in our generation, we stay in our house and we watch TV and we're just there. But the word is intentional. God put those kids in my life, and for 18 years I'm to intentionally prepare them for the future. And that means I talk to them all the time. It means we discuss issues. It means we talk through why are we teaching you how to change the oil? Because you're going to be a husband someday. Why are you learning how to cook and clean the house? Because you're going to have a family someday. And so we're intentional. Why are we going soul winning? Because someday you're going to grow up and have a family, and they got to learn how to impact a generation. So we're always talking. It's not one of those things that you do it. It's not something you just sit down and do. Okay, we've set goals. It's something that every step of the way that you're setting goals. Like when your kids are like here, your goal is that they start eating on their own and sleeping through the night. So you do a lot of work to get them there, don't you? How hard do you work to get your kid to sleep through the night, to get the kid to go to the bathroom without you having to do it?
Amen.
You're training. But then our kids are seven. Well, you know, that's all done. But a 17-year-old, we've got to keep training. We've got to keep training because a 7-year-old's got to learn how to start walking with God, how to know Jesus. And so you keep it's a continual training. It never stops.
Yeah, that's really good. Go ahead.
In the realm of relationships, we do teach our children, and obviously you live in, what do you call, sin, city. You should be teaching your children what is good touching, what is not good touching. There's a book called Good Pictures, Bad Pictures. Your children need to see this book. It's about pornography, because pornography is targeted to our children, and you need to go through these things. If someone tries to show you this, this is what you're going to do. My husband used to tell our boys, if someone shows you this, you punch them in the nose, and I will pay you. And if you knock them out, I will pay you more. And our boys thought that was so cool. But that's what you do. And just like Pastor was saying, you ask them, have you seen anything? Ask them. But keep it very open and very casual so they feel very comfortable telling you. Has anyone ever tried to touch you? Have you ever done this? And just keep that communication constantly open. But then they know they can talk to you, and they also know what to do if that happens.
That's really good. Good job. Do you guys have anything you want to say?
Okay. Well, just on the question that Pastor Matt asked about setting goals and working toward goals with your kids, I think that the book of Proverbs is just so helpful all the way through for us personally, and then also for our kids, just learning it. And it gives us little bits of wisdom for every day. And if you don't already do this, you can read a proverb a day, because there's 31 chapters, so one for every day of the month. And Proverbs gives you basically four characters. You can break it down to the wise, the simple, the scorner, and the fool. So the wise person is the one that receives the blessings of God, like what we've been hearing about in the sessions. And so we want to teach our family that that's where we want to be. We don't want to be the simple. The simple is the one who just doesn't care, just doesn't pay attention, just kind of lets things happen, lets life happen to them. The scorner is the one with the bad attitude, and the fool is the one with the consequences. But we don't want to be any of those. We want to be the wise that gets the blessings blessings of God. So, and then go through Proverbs and say, okay, what does wisdom look like? How, what goal are we going to set for today that's going to help us accomplish wisdom for today? And that, I think, is really helpful.
We used to call it do a wisdom check. Mm. We'd say to our kids when they were younger, hey, would you do a wisdom check? Because we'd want them to think through before we told them, why are we saying this? Oh, I'm not doing something wise. So that was a phrase we use, not so much with these two, I don't think, lately, but with the older three especially, we'd say that a lot. We'd say, do a wisdom check. You better do a wisdom check.
That's good.
That was a good sign.
That's good.
Wake up.
So you had about 5 or 6 more questions. We're not going to take time to go through those, but I know you guys would be available if somebody would want to ask you those. Could you give me a 45-second, 30-second closing thought? Why don't we start with you, Hannah, and then Dennis, you guys can then find a seat down here. Then, Bethley, I'd like to hear from you. And then would you give us a good closing charge before we go, Brother Dave? Go ahead, Hannah. Anything. You know, maximize life means thank you for coming to Las Vegas. You know, just give us a closing thought before we leave.
Well, like I told the ladies right before my last session, I think there's a I leaned over to my husband and said, I think there's a fine line between maximized and maxed out. So make sure that maximizing life, make sure that you're, like Miss Bethley said, resting in the Lord. And it's so easy in family life, and you know, even if you're a single person, it's so easy to be so busy that you don't take time to maximize your life. And it's so easy to say yes to so many things that you're saying no to all the right things. You're saying no to the things that are needed in your heart and life. So I think it's just so helpful to come to things like this, to go to every service at your church, and to just remember to say yes to the best things. And that sometimes means that we're going to have to cut out, you know, maybe some things that we enjoy, maybe some things that are just demanding of our time, but to just make sure that we're always taking time to focus on God.
That's really good. Dennis?
First off, I want to say thank you to you as a church. You've been awesome this week, and this is our first time here, but we love it, and thank you for having us. I would challenge everyone. I mean, there's so many things you could say, but I really would challenge you with consistency. Just learn to be a consistent Christian. Learn to walk with God consistently. Have a pattern of consistency. I feel that sometimes in our Christian lives, we set goals that are absolutely absurd. You know, we're like, we hear a revival message and we're like, I'm going to read the Bible for the rest of my life. Don't commit to that goal. Read the Bible today. Like, yes, that should be our end goal. We want to be in the Bible for the rest of our life. And yes, that's a great focus. But just be consistent. Just get in the Word today and get in it tomorrow. Learn to witness today. Learn to carry tracts tomorrow. Learn to pray today and then pray tomorrow. And just live life day by day. And pretty soon you'll realize that if you want a blessed life, it's made up of decisions day by day that were blessed decisions. If you want a horrible life is made up of days of horrible decisions. Mm. It's all in the consistency. It's all in the patterns. You look in the Christians in the Word of God that were effective believers, and you'll find a pattern of consistency. I love the story of Luke versus the story of Demas in Colossians chapter 4. You just read Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. But if you do a word study and if you do a study on their lives, you find out that Luke walked with God consistently, and Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Well, what happened? He just dropped the ball on consistency. He just fell in love with the world, and he was more consistently in love with the world than he was with God. And so I challenge you with consistency and faithfulness in every aspect of Christianity, and you'll look back and realize there's 10 years of consistency, and God's been blessing my life.
Good. Would you thank the Fountains for being with us this week? I was going to let you have the last word, but I didn't know if that would be right or not. So I'm going to go ahead, Miss Bethley.
I would love to just commend you for being here. I think the first step to maximizing your life is just saying, you know what? I want God first in my life, and I know that that's how to maximize it. And so I need to take the time and the energy and the craziness of getting to Liberty Baptist Church every night for 4 nights. In a row, in the traffic, and all that you do. And I know that you have got to be tired. thank you. Thank you for coming. Because you know what? In this room, there is hope for the light in Las Vegas. I was in the forum shops yesterday. I didn't buy a thing. But I went into this shoe store. I went into this shoe store where I couldn't afford a thing. And, you know, people have such a conception of your city. And I got in a conversation with the lady in there, and she asked, you know, what are you doing here? Which I thought was amazing, because I would think she would just assume I was there to gamble or be on vacation. And I said, you know what? My husband is speaking at a Maximize Life conference at Liberty Baptist Church. And she was like, that is so awesome. And then she said, don't you guys know you can't do that here? And I think it's because she thinks we don't have that kind of influence here. All we have is sinful influence here. But you guys have influence. I talked to another lady today. She was so easy to talk to about this conference. And she thought it was the most amazing thing. You guys have cashed in on the most amazing thing. And it was free. Unless you gave an offering, for which I am very thankful.
We'll see what kind of shoes you get after the offering. Yeah, right?
No, probably not. Anyway, but you are the hope. Just starting. This is the hope, and that's wonderful. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Miss Bethley. Brother Dave, would you close us out with a thought or two?
Sure. I was thinking when he asked me to give you a final thought of a phrase, and it's a simple phrase. As you learn the Word of God and apply it to your life, the Holy Spirit will take the Word of God and make you more like Jesus. And the result will be that you will have the blessings of God in your life. And I know that's what you want. And it really is that simple, isn't it? It's that simple. We're all from different backgrounds. Some of you have been saved for years, and some of you came from a great Christian family, and some of you, you're a first-generation Christian, the only person saved in your family. And some of you know a lot about the Bible, and some of you don't have a clue. We're all at different places. But I'll tell you one thing. Any one of us can take the Word of God and start learning it. It'll apply to every area of your life. Get in the Word of God and find out what it says about anger, if that's your issue. Find out what it says about raising children if you're struggling. Find out what it says about finances if you need help with your money. Get in the Word of God and apply it to your life. Do what it says. And here's what the promise of God's Word is. And this is what we've been trying to say in this conference. If you and I will do it, we will just take God's Word and apply it to our lives. Then the Holy Spirit will take it and make us more like Jesus. The Holy Spirit uses God's Word to make us sweet and loving and gentle and consistent, to help us have boundaries and standards and overcome the garbage and evil and wickedness of our generation. The Holy Spirit will use the Word of God to give us the wisdom to speak to a neighbor, to invite them to church, a co-worker. The Word of God in my life will allow the Holy Spirit to make me more like Jesus, and the result will be that I will have the blessings of God. There's a verse in Ephesians 5 that says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." There's kids all over this room tonight, and I like those sounds, don't you? It's kids all over the room. I hear a little one back there. It's kids all over this room, and they're dear to us. Two are up here on the front row, and they're mine. Those two kids right here are dear to me. Those are my kids. I love them. I told one of our sessions tonight, Bethany and I for years have said to our kids, if God lined up all the nine-year-olds in the world and said, you can only pick one, Charity, I'd pick you every single time. Because, see, she's dear to me. That's my little girl. And you know something tonight? You're that important to God. He knows all your baggage, your weaknesses, your failures. But he also knows what he can do in your life if you'll let him. He knows the blessing that'll be in your marriage if you'll let him, in your family. He even knows the blessings that can come out of your failures, because maybe you've been through a divorce and you think, there's no hope for me. I've already blown it. God is able to take your blown-itness and bring beauty out of those ashes if you'll let him. But here's how it's going to happen. He'll take his word. If you'll read it every day, Memorize it. Be in every service. Listen to it. Learn it. Learn to speak it to your children. When your kid says to you, "Do you know what she said?" Think about, what verse could I give right here to help my kids learn the Bible about this? The beer commercial comes on. What verse could I use right here to help my kids to know that this beer commercial is a lie? Go to the book. You got a Bible. And hide it in your heart. And let the Spirit of God make you like Jesus. And you know what will happen? You will have the blessings of God. And Liberty Baptist Church, God bless you so much. You treat us so kindly. I don't know how many times I've preached in this auditorium. It's been years ago that we first came to Vegas and met a preacher named Dave Tice, and he had five little youngins. And I remember that night, it was at a restaurant here in the area. I was working for Pensacola Christian College and never dreamed that there would come days where I'd call these people some of my closest friends. And it's just such a privilege to serve the Lord, to have a happy marriage and a godly family. And He loves you that much, and He cares about you. So we love you guys, and we always love preaching here and investing in you and serving you. And you boys and girls, you've come in here every night this week, and you've listened to me, and you've done it with such kindness, and you've been so attentive. And I'm impressed with your boys and girls. You keep it up, kids. You keep it up. You teenagers have listened. You keep it up. And you mom and dads are investing. You keep it up because you're important to God. And don't you ever forget that. Thanks, Matt. Glad to be with you.
Would it be all right to close with a word of prayer? And maybe with your spouse, or maybe with your kids, or maybe even with a brother or sister in Christ that's right near you. Maybe just in the next few moments, in the quietness of this moment, would you bow your head and close your eyes? And whatever God's spoken to you about, man, it could have been one of the 18 different subjects that we covered. It could have been something that only you and God were dealing with. I don't know. But right now, between you and God, maybe with your spouse, maybe you want to take advantage of this altar. That's fine. Why don't we just take about the next 2 minutes and just between us and God, figure out what it means to maximize life.
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless.